This is July the 4th, 2010, at Zion, and the Sunday evening service. Yeah, I realize that not everybody's meeting, but we are. It's the Lord's Day. We worship the Lord on the Lord's Day. Thank the Lord. 1 Corinthians, we continue in our study in the 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and we'll start reading at verse 6, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. We need to start at verse 1. We need to start reading at verse 1, even though we've already expounded on verses 1 through 5, maybe part of 6. I think I told you that last time. You really need to start reading from chapter 1 if you haven't done that. Not in the way of studying, just reading. Start at verse 1 of chapter 1 and read through the end of the second chapter without stopping. I know how easy it is to get distracted and you want to turn and flip to another page, another look up another verse, especially when you're reading all these wonderful things, but just read it from all of chapter 1 and 2 at one sitting. And pray the Lord's blessings when you do. But let's start reading at chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for the reading of Your Word. What wonderful and glorious things we have before our eyes to see and to behold. Wonderful things that can strengthen us in the inner man and grow us in Your grace and increase our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and of the hidden mystery that has been hidden from the world but was prepared before the world began unto our glory. What glorious things they are here. Help us, O Lord, to glean from the Word of God, Lord, to work through all the things that might would hinder us, oh God. Remove anything from our minds that would stop us from giving Thee our full attention upon Your Word, that the Spirit of God may enlighten us to the truth, open our eyes that we may see and understand, and may be pleasing servants unto Thee, our God. Help us, oh God, we need Thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I love reading 1 Corinthians, all of it. Not just that, but this is a wonderful thing, especially here because in modern day churches, you know as well as I that verse 10 is known by all modern day churches as talking about what is in the hereafter. What's hereafter, but you know from reading what we just read that it's got nothing to do with the hereafter. Not anything in this verse and not anything in this chapter has got anything to do with eternal life other than the plan of eternal life. It's not anything to do there with verse 10 other than what God prepared before the world began to be revealed unto us and unto our glory. It is revealed, this hidden mystery. He's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is preaching to these Corinthians, not in man's wisdom and in enticing words or convincing words in such a way with eloquent speech or a great voice to speak with or to preach with, because he determined before he come to them not to know anything save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He would not come with the wisdom of man's words, with all the philosophies of the world and the written documents of doctors, meaning theologians, theological doctors and all of these. He would come knowing nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Verse 6. Verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's why He came preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified in a very simple way. Why? Because it wasn't through the power of Paul's speaking. It wasn't through his convincing powers of reasoning so he could convince you from taking every little piece of scripture or every philosophy that man had and convincing you through the man's wisdom that this is why you should believe the gospel. That's not how he come. He come very simply explaining the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, He was the Son of God. The Jews did kill Him by the hands of the Romans, and He was raised from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, intercedes for us today. Everything that the Old Testament Scriptures talked about the Messiah was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He came preaching that in a very simple way. Why? Verse 5 tells you. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So that when a man was saved, he would not ever doubt that it was the power of God that saved him, not the reasoning powers of Paul's speech or any other man's. But that's why Paul came speaking like he did. Howbeit, verse 6, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature. That's what he's saying. Not those that are perfect and without sin. There's no man on the earth without sin, nor has there ever been, save Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They never will be. They are saints that are in heaven that are without sin. They are saints made perfect, but they're in heaven. They're not on this earth. So the perfect that he's talking about here is mature believers in Christ, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to know. He said, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. The wisdom that he is speaking to God's people is the wisdom of God. It's foolishness to the world. They don't understand it. It sounds like a madman talking. It's boring to them. It's stupid to them. It's like somebody's mind is warped or something, and he's talking off the top of his head. They don't know what he's saying, and it's just foolishness to the world and to the princes of this world, to the doctors of this world. I mean the doctors of theology, to the Pope. You tell the Pope about the doctrines of grace, and it's foolishness to him. He's a lost man and he's going to hell if God doesn't have mercy on him and turn his heart and he repent. I believe the Bible calls him the man of sin. And so, it's foolishness, and they come to naught. They're coming to nothing anyway and already have. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. What's he talking about? He's talking about God's covenant with his Son to redeem his people from their sins. It's not like that Adam fell from the garden and the Lord said, oh my, what are we going to do? We got to figure out some way to save mankind because he's fallen from grace and I've had to run him out of the garden. There he is, lost out there in his sins. Oh me, what are we going to do? Do you not know and realize, even from this morning's message and other messages before, that before anything was ever done, in the time past of eternity past, in one moment of a thought, God knew everything that he was going to do. And the plan was put in place instantly. He knew exactly before he made man that man, Adam, was going to fall in the garden and that the Son of God would come and redeem man. He knew exactly before he made Lucifer, the most beautiful angel that there was, that he would be lifted up in pride. He knew exactly everything that would happen. He knew that he would be Satan upon the earth, tempting men and going about seeking whom he may devour. And that he would take men captive at his will. Not God's people, but worldly people. He knew all these things. And the plan was in place. And Paul says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Everybody loves a mystery. This mystery is God's mystery. The Egyptians and the Grecians love to say that their wisdom is an antiquity. That theirs is the oldest wisdom that there is. The Egyptians love to brag about that. And the Greeks love to brag about how wise their forefathers were and how that their wisdom came before all the rest of the world. They pale in comparison to the mystery of God that was in eternity past. Before the world began was God's hidden mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. But it was hidden from who? It was hidden from angels. The Bible says angels long to look into this mystery of God. They didn't understand. They didn't know the plan of God. They didn't understand. It was hidden from Adam. Until he revealed it to him, it was hidden to the prophets of old. They only got small glimpses of the Messiah, and God would give them the words of prophecy to prophesy about the Messiah, but they didn't understand. It was hidden from them to a point. And it's hidden from Christian people today as seeing through a glass darkly. We don't have a perfect view of it. Of this great plan of salvation, we can only see it as in part. It's hidden completely from the world, from lost people. They cannot see it. And except God birth a man and make him alive spiritually, he will never see any of it. He's lost. So Paul says, we speak wisdom. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. And something else that needs to be said about a mystery and something that is hidden. It shows the value of it. It shows how valuable it is because it's a secret. And therefore, it's very valuable. And it's hidden and it's because it's very valuable. And it's hidden by God. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I'm just moving right along. I'm not keeping up with my notes here. But there is some notes I want to look at here. Which none of the princes of the world knew. Now he's not talking about, some people think he's talking about the devils here of the world. He's not talking about the devils. They had known what God designed, had they known what God designed to do with Christ, they would not have done their part in the crucifixion of Christ. Do you understand that? If they had known, if the devils had of the world had known the plan that God had for the suffering, the obedience, and the crucifixion of Christ, what would happen when he died, they would never have played their part in his crucifixion. Because they drove the nails in their own coffin when they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Look over at Luke, the 22nd chapter. Luke chapter 22. We don't have time to stay here long now, so you have to be quick with me. And if you can't, just write it down and I'll read it to you. Luke 22, verse 3. Then entered... Well, let me read verse 1, 2. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. Satan entered Judas. And then John, the 13th chapter. John chapter 13, verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. That's where he washed the feet. Now, verse 27 of the same chapter. And after the sop, after Judas took his bread and sopped it into the cup of Jesus, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. So, what he's saying here in 1 Corinthians about it, if the princes of the world had known, he's not talking about the devils, even though if the devils had known what was going to happen, they would not have played their part in the death of Jesus. But he wasn't talking about them. Nor was he talking about the political emperors of Rome, the governors of Roman empires. He wasn't talking about them. They didn't know either. Herod and Pontius Pilate and those guys. But rather he was talking about the rulers of Israel, the Sanhedrin and the priests and the teachers and the rulers of Israel. Those are the princes of this world that he was talking about, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Look at Acts chapter 3. We just read this the other day. You remember Acts chapter 3, verse 17 and 18? He says, and now, brethren, I know, it says, I what, I-W-O-T, which means I know that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. And then chapter 13, Acts chapter 13. Bear with me. We're learning something here. Acts chapter 13, look at verse 20. 6. Acts chapter 13, verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. Now you gather from these different places of the Scripture, you should be able to understand that God had a plan to save his people from their sins. Not to save every human walking the face of the planet. Whatever God attempts to do, he does. And God saved exactly and is saving exactly those that he intends to save. He's God. He does as he pleases. He's not trying to save somebody and can't. But you should be able to see that through this, and they didn't know. They did not know. And that's what he says there in chapter 13, verse 17. Chapter 3, verse 17, where he says, I know that you didn't know. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. They didn't know what they were doing. They legitimately thought they were crucifying a renegade rebel that was not the Messiah, even though they claimed to be, pay attention, this is very important to the rest of this chapter, even though they claimed to be the rulers and the doctors of the Scriptures, they taught the people the Scriptures, they could tell you book, chapter, and verse, any place in the Bible that they had, but they could not see that the prophet said about Christ Jesus that he should suffer and die for the sins of his people. They couldn't see. Why? God had blinded their eyes so that they could not see, so that they would fulfill his purpose for them on this earth. And that was to crucify the Lord Jesus. And to do everything that they did to him while he was on this earth. Now look, let's go back to 1 Corinthians, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard. That's Isaiah the 64th chapter, by the way. Isaiah chapter 64 is where it says that, not in those exact words, but that's what he's saying. Which none of the princes, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. In Isaiah 64 it says, for them that wait upon him. For them that wait upon the Lord, which is the same thing, saying the exact same thing. If you wait upon the Lord, if your hope is in the Lord and you're waiting upon him, then you love him. That's Jesus always said, for us to wait, to look for him, to wait for him. Our hope is in Christ Jesus. We're waiting and we're hoping to see him return in the eastern skies and return for his people. We long for the day that is because we love him. And he said that those that are looking for him when he comes will be saved. And we're looking for him. We're longing for him. Now, but as is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Talking about the covenant of grace that God made with his Son before the world began. God made a covenant with his Son knowing that Adam was going to fall, be kicked out of the garden. He was going to die spiritually and begin to die physically also, and that all of his posterity, every human born to Adam and Eve, and for all mankind, all the race of mankind, all the human race would be dead in their sins, alienated from God, separated from Him, on their road to hell, except for those that Jesus would save from their sins. And He made a covenant with His Son to come and take on human flesh, that He'd be born of a virgin, that we don't understand all the ins and outs about, but we know that He did, and we know God planned it that way. And the prophets prophesied this very thing, but it was hidden from them. And I have not seen, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. The Old Testament people didn't know and didn't understand, and the elders and the rulers of Israel didn't know. It had not entered into their mind, their thoughts, their eyes not seen or ear heard, these wonderful and glorious things about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that didn't come until us, until the New Testament, until Jesus Christ came and died. And now Peter and Paul and Stephen and Philip and all these saints of God are beginning to preach the gospel. Now they see it. The Spirit of God has opened their eyes. They're alive and they see this hidden mystery of God. Now they can preach it. They see it better than it's ever been seen before them. And they're preaching it with great excitement. And that's what Paul's talking about here. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone and in Him alone. Nobody else, no other way but Jesus Christ. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Now, all the folks before us, they only got a glimpse, some of them, very few of them. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, I got time. God hath revealed them unto us, meaning born-again believers. Not just the apostles, not just ministers of the gospel, but all born-again believers see the Lord Jesus Christ as their only hope and their only Savior. They see themselves as no good sinners without hope in the world, and if God don't save them, they're lost and going to hell. And only believers can see themselves in such a way. Only believers realize that I'm a lost sinner and I'm no good and I need to go to hell. God, please save me. The world don't see that. Lost people don't see themselves as lost in need of a Savior. All they see themselves needing to do is make a profession of Christ, accept Him as their personal Savior, walk down the aisle, shake the preacher's hand, and everything's okay. And as they live their daily lives, they don't see themselves as unworthy of such a salvation. When they commit sin by not applying their time in the morning when they get up to the study of the Scriptures and praying and getting right with God before they leave for their daily activities, they don't see that as hurtsome and as a terrible, terrible thing. They don't ever think about it. They get up, they wash their face maybe, brush their teeth, get their clothes on, take off the work, and they never think a thing about it. But a born-again believer, if he doesn't read the Scriptures and pray in the morning, it just tears him up during the day. He says, oh God, forgive me, have mercy. Why do I do those things, God? And when they have evil thoughts, believers think, why do they do that? And so when he says, but God hath revealed them unto us, he's talking about born-again believers, people that the Spirit of God hath birthed and made alive. He's revealed them unto us. That's how we were saved. By His Spirit, by the Holy Ghost filling us and birthing us and making us alive. For the Spirit searcheth all the things is added there supposedly for clarity. But if you're not, if you don't watch it here, you'll be thinking, okay, the Spirit of God searches God. Well, the Spirit of God knows all things. He doesn't have to search God to know them. He is God. Okay? So don't think that the Spirit of God's got to do some function in order to know something. He doesn't. He searches us. What he's saying there is he knows everything. And he knows all the things pertaining to God. But here, in this scripture, he's only talking about the things that are pertaining to the gospel, the doctrines of grace, Jesus Christ, the mediator, the prophet, the priest, the king. He's only talking about those things, the suffering and the dying, the resurrection, the ascension on high, the interceding for the saints. He's only talking about those things here when he says, the Spirit searcheth all, yea, the deep things of God concerning Christ. Because the deep things of God, you and I will never know about. Man cannot fathom them. They're beyond our capacity to think or to understand. It's like eternity. We cannot grasp it. You show me a human that can grasp space that never ends. Our finite minds cannot understand no end out there. We always have to think that somewhere there's a wall. We cannot grasp infinity. It goes forever. Man cannot grasp that. They cannot understand such a thing. Nor can we understand the deep things of God. Only those things that He reveals unto us, like He did with Peter and Paul and all the saints of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Now, I don't know what's in your heart, and you don't know what's in mine. It's like someone was telling me earlier before church, I don't know if this person is saved or not. He says he is. I can do nothing but believe that he is. I can judge him by his works, myself. But I don't have the right to judge his salvation to say he's lost or he's saved, nor can you. I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know what's in your mind. Your works may show that you're a pretty good fellow, that you're very righteous and a holy and a godly man, but the motives in your mind may be all wrong. You may be trying to do all these things in order to get to heaven, and you're not going to get to heaven by doing things. You get to heaven because you've been born again by the Spirit of God. That's why you do those things. If you're doing those things trying to get to heaven, you're not going to make it. So you see, I don't know your mind, but your spirit does. You know. The spirit inside you knows. Your own spirit knows the man, what's in him, his motives, his reasons, his thinking. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. This covetous, worldly, ungodly spirit, we have not received that spirit, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, salvation by grace alone, in faith or by faith alone, in Christ alone. That's what we know. The things that are freely given to us by God, we can read the Scriptures and the Spirit of God reveal Himself to us. And that's attributed to the Father, to the Son, and to the Spirit of God. All in different places in the Scriptures as you read, you'll see that God reveals Himself to us by the Father, by the Son, and by the Spirit. The Son reveals the Father to us, the Father reveals the Son to us, and the Spirit of God reveals them both to us and shows us things. And it doesn't have to be doctors and preachers. Babes in Christ understand these things. The Spirit of God reveals the Lord Jesus to His people. Even babes in Christ, He reveals Himself to them. Like He did with Peter over in Matthew, the 16th chapter, where Peter made his confession, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You see, the theological doctors, the theologians, many of the people that you may know that call themselves preachers, only people who've been born by the Spirit of God can understand the things of God. I don't care if he can quote every book and verse to you of the Bible. If he understands words that I don't even know the meaning of, it does not matter. Only people who are born by the Spirit of God can understand things about God. All the other people just understand words and the meaning of words. That's the reason those first apostles and those first disciples and those first Christians blew their minds. They understood things about God that those doctors and lawyers and those scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees had never heard of before. They were blowing their mind. They didn't understand how could they know these things. And many of them were saved because of wonderful preaching by these men of God that were saved by the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. There's that word that. Anytime you see that word that, stop and meditate on it just a minute and see what he's saying. I love that word. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we've received the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Every born-again believer is spiritual. There are many preachers that are not spiritual because they've never been born again. There are many theologians and theological doctors and great men that consider themselves to be holy, sanctified, and spiritual men that have never been born by the Spirit of God, and they don't understand a thing about God. But every born-again believer is spiritual. Even babes in Christ that don't know anything about the Scriptures are spiritual. They're understanding the things of the Spirit of God reveals the Father unto them. And they learn as they read and they study. They learn from God, not from man. And that's what he's saying here. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Scriptures. Simple things. In the Scriptures is what he's talking about. We teach, not in man's wisdom, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Well, this is what the Holy Ghost teaches. I don't care what a man tells you. I've heard people say, oh, God spoke to me and God said this and I seen God and he sat with me, I sat with Jesus, talked to him and all such stupidity. If it's contrary to what the book says, it's a lie from the pits of hell. This is what the Holy Ghost teaches. And it's very simple. And these are the things that Paul says he teaches, that we teach these things, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, I may not can compare and understand a lot of things that the world teaches and all the big things that the theologians know and they can teach and about history and all the other things. But I can compare spiritual things with spiritual. I know when a man's preaching, whether or not he's preaching the Word of God or whether or not he's trying to pull my leg with some idiocy that he don't know anything about. I'm comparing spiritual things with spiritual, with the Word of God, like the Bereans did. They searched the Scriptures daily to see if the things that Paul and the other people were preaching were so or not. It's easy. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Oh, I forgot verse 14. We'll stop there at verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man is a man that's unsaved. He's never been born again. I don't care what kind of degrees he's got, how many letters he's got behind his name or before his name or anything else. A natural man is a man that is the same as the way he was born. Natural. Never been born by the Spirit of God. God has not removed that old stony heart out of him and put a heart of flesh in him and wrote his laws upon the table of his heart. He's a natural man. He does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. He cannot know them, because the things of God are spiritually understood. They are spiritually discerned, and a natural man cannot know them. Okay. We'll stop. Brother Jimmy McNeese, would you ask the Lord's blessings on us as we dismiss?